Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm trying to get our players to listen to me instead of listening to you guys. You know, all that stuff you write about how good we are and all that stuff they hear on ESPN, it's like poison. You know what I mean? It's like taking poison, like rat poison. All right, so I'm asking them, are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys about how good you are? All right, just like your question right now, we get stopped 3 out of 4 times, like that's a bad thing? We're not going to beat everybody 66-3.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
I never thought by October we'd be running audio comparing the Patriots under Mike Vrabel year one to Nick Saban's Alabama squads that were loaded with talent and rolling, but here we are because Nick Saban famously referred to the media praise, the fan praise, everybody saying how good his football team was and all the great things they were going to do as rat poison. And there's been a lot of rat poison, Nick Fitzy Stevens, served up to your New England Patriots this week. They're a top 10 football team all of a sudden, says Tom Brady, the man with a statue just feet from Gillette Stadium. Drake May is a top 10, maybe, knocking on the door, top 5 quarterback in the National Football League. This from a team that won a combined 8 games the last 2 years, from a team that couldn't win at Gillette Stadium other than a couple outside loss victories in a 19-game stretch. And now suddenly, Tom Curran, who'll join us at 3:30, says they're going to be 10-3 at their bye. They are a playoff team. Is it starting? If it started today, and rat poison is everywhere to be consumed by Drake May and Stephon Diggs and Milton Williams et al. Fitzy, is that the biggest challenge of the season to date for the New England Patriots? To not read their own press clippings, sniff their own whatever, and actually play football and prove that they're as good as people like you and Tom Brady and everyone else is saying they are.
Steph Diggs in his locker yesterday during his media availability said that this week could actually present a bigger challenge for the New England Patriots than going into hostile enemy territory, Highmark Stadium, the hellmouth of Western New York, to take on the team he made his name and mark with for 4 years. And that was a daunting challenge on Sunday Night Football, undefeated team, 70,000 hot sauce covered orcs screaming bloody murder against them. And they went in there, answered the bell, answered the challenge, and kicked ass. So yeah, it actually is as big, if not a bigger challenge, to then follow that up with a road trip against a team that has only won one game. They couldn't be 4-1. They couldn't be 5-0. They kind of are what they are. They're 1-4. They're part of the poverty of the NFL right now in the age of parity. They have nothing to lose. The team they beat sucks out loud. So yeah, this is an easy week to read your clippings, to buy into your own hype. I won't say trap game because I know everyone wants to disagree with the phraseology, whatever. It could be a letdown game. That's fine. But I'll say this. I thought about it long and hard before the show on the overnight and beyond. And I think the thing that I am most impressed with to date about these New England Patriots, and I don't want to compare them to last year or the year before. Similar uniforms, obviously. Some similarity in terms of roster. But this is a different team with a different head coach, a different mindset, and different leadership. The emotional maturity of this team to date has been impressive. And if they're able to compose themselves, go in and have a business-like day and a workman-like victory against the Saints and set themselves on a course for success, it will show that their emotional growth is continuing. That is what I want to see most. And from what we're hearing, that is what they want most too.
So I'm glad you brought leadership into the conversation and the equation, because that was where I wanted to go with this. Because I think it's easy to say, it's on Mike Vrabel, right? It's on Mike Vrabel to guide his football team through success, just like he had to guide them through some failures. And that's the job week to week of the head coach. And there's certainly some truth to that. If he is Bill Parcells, the guy that a lot of people want to compare him to, and is sort of a master manipulator, motivator guy, but with a modern twist who's a little bit kinder, gentler, and nicer,
a human touch, dare I say.
A human touch Bill Parcells. Let's call him that. Then Parcells would have found this opportunity to get creative and, you know, mouse traps and the things we've heard over the years hanging from the ceiling to guide his team through this week, through this, huh, you got a taste of success. How are you going to handle success? Are you good enough, mature enough to deal with this? But I think it also, it's on the players. How many times has Ted Johnson told us accountability is as much in the locker room as it is from the coaching staff? So that's Drake May. That's Steph Diggs. That's Milton Williams. That's Robert Spillane. You ushered out all the old guard of leadership, mm-hmm. and you brought in all your new guard of leadership coming from different places, right? Stephon Diggs was in Houston last year. Robert Spillane is in Vegas. Milton Williams was a Super Bowl champion in Philly. So where does – and I'll also mix in I'll mix in a group of people that I think it gets underplayed sometimes. We always talk about – the head coach, or even sometimes the coordinators. But the players spend the most time with their position coaches, right? So they're in those meeting rooms. They're on those in those groups on the practice field with their position coaches. So I've always thought those guys can play a really key role in tone setting in situations like this for a team that is at a crossroads? Seasonal crossroads? Is this a seasonal crossroads game?
Not Nick a career Fitzy crossroads.
Season? Stevens? Nope. Crossroads
could be.
Here?
Could be.
Crossroads in New Orleans on, you know why on Sunday? It would
be? Can I tell you? I'll tell you exactly why it could be, Andy. And yes, back when you first, I'll say volleyed forth potential concerns over the high number of positional coaches who had either been coordinators or head coaches themselves. And could that be a distraction or could that be a too many cooks in the football kitchen type of scenario? Thus far, it has actually bore out that it hasn't been. And I hope it continues that way because there has been a positive influence. Ted has even pointed out things that Todd Downing and Thomas Brown could have brought to the Josh McDaniels offense to help it evolve and benefit Drake May. This week is a very, very, very important seasonal crossroads game, if you will, because if you go down there, you lay an egg, you put forth a half-ass effort, you give New Orleans a chance, and you barely win the game or even... God forbid, lose a third game on the season, then you know what? People are going to say, eh, you rose to the occasion. Buffalo kind of spit the bit, and you are that 500 team most of us thought you were. You go down there Sunday, do your job. Don't let Kendre Miller or Alvin Kamara get going. Rattle the rattler, and don't let the defense of theirs, you know, pin their ears back and get after you, and just continue playing the way you should. You know, don't have another, like, sequel to the sixth turnover delight against the Steelers. Then, yeah, that's a big step in the right direction for this team.
So who leads you in that right direction? Is it Mike Vrabel? Is it the position coaches? Is it the leadership? Is it the quarterback? We all know quarterback. Drake May has said the quarterback doesn't get to take a day off. The quarterback is being a leader at all times, right? He enters the building 6 a.m. on a Tuesday, leader. Sunday at 1, leader. And everywhere in between that span, who do you put the onus on to make sure they do not have a letdown at 1 o'clock Sunday against the Saints?
It's the same two-headed attack that led them last Sunday. It's got to be Drake May. It's got to be Steph Diggs. I think Steph Diggs, whether he wants that smoke or not, and it kind of seems like he does. I'd go so far as right now. Maybe we could even either walk it back or do another maybe put an AC or another C on his chest. Steph Diggs is the captain. He is like his speeches should begin with, hey, yeah, I know you got a C on your chest. Look at me. I'm the captain now. He has taken emotional charge of
this team.
Wasn't
that in a movie in the Somali pirate's ship? I'm the captain now.
That's Captain Phillips, yes.
I think Steph Diggs is huge. I think his emotion is huge. I also, little side note here, and everybody knows that I really, really am very good at picking teams and games and prop bets.
Are you going to text me yours so I can bet against them this week?
What are you smirking at, Dan Ball?
No, except for that one season where you went 17-0.
I did go 17-0. Dan Ball, I told him the story off air. I went 17-0 picking the postseason one year in the playoffs. Perfect postseason. Picked every game.
Are they working on your bronze statue to go outside Gillette, too?
I got to brag about it because it ain't been good since, and that was like 20 years ago.
Brady, Kraft, and Hart, you know the trio.
I will say, though.
BKH, baby.
I will be placing a little something-something on the anytime touchdown for Steph Diggs. I don't know if you guys noticed this week, but in recent weeks, it was Drake May saying, I got to get him the ball more. And have you noticed since he said that, he's got like 20 catches over a two-game span. This week, it was, yeah, Steph's great, this, that, yeah, got to get him in the end zone, got to get him a touchdown. He has mentioned that 2 weeks in a row. So I would say Steph Diggs is a good anytime touchdown bet down in New Orleans. But Mike Vrabel clearly steers the ship. Like,
he set the early tone, Andy, and the kids are now actually following suit, which is equally impressive.
Which I wanted to get into in this conversation of how he steers the ship. So he wants them to turn the page, right? And by them, I don't just mean his team. He asks the media every Wednesday. He chastised Andrew Callahan about 3 weeks ago, I believe. You know, we're going to have a problem around here if you guys on Wednesday are asking about things that happen in the game on Sunday. He did it again this week to Sophie Waller down there. He's like, Sophie, you're not getting it. And she's like, wait, I need to ask the question louder. He's like, no, we're not talking about last week because she referenced that they held James Cook in check. But I ask you a question. Don't these coaches stand up every week and say, well, the Saints hung with Buffalo. They played them really tough, and the Saints did this 2 weeks ago, and they hit a big game in that. Like, so we can't talk about recent games for your team, but you can talk about recent games for the opponent and how good they are. Dan Ball?
What kind of tape do they watch during the week? Do they watch tape of games that haven't happened yet?
Future tape.
Yep. Oh,
the damnedest thing.
Yeah, no,
wow.
They do. There's a new PFN AI 33rd team subscription you can get where it predicts future outcomes, and you have to try to work against that. It's in cooperation with Skynet, Dan. I mean,
hey,
honestly,
33rd team? Did you say that? I thought North Carolina was the 33rd NFL team.
No, that's the original website with Mike Tannenbaum and company. But, like, I got to be honest, that's a little hypocritical of Coach Vrabel, who's been definitely not pitching a perfect game, but definitely out there having a crochet-like playoff start thus far in terms of his tenure as head coach of the Patriots. What else do you have? Do the media and the players have to go by?
Right.
Are they not going to ask, like, hey, coach, how did the Saints, who were underdogs at home against the Giants or were one-point favorite, find a way after going down early to Jackson Dart and the upstart Giants, turn things around and wrest control of that game in an impressive 12-point win? Oops, sorry, that's last Sunday. We're looking forward, sir.
So
you have to ask about that.
So should we ask Mike Vrabel? Hey, Mike, Ramondre Stevenson is going to fumble later in the season. How are you going to handle that? And he's like, wait, what do you mean he's going to fumble later in the season? I'm like, I'm just going by odds, coach. I'm just going with the odds, but the way he's played lately. Yeah, it's a little infuriating, and I get it. All coaches are hypocrites. All coaches do it, right? Bill Belichick was the king of it. What did he say, Fitzy? What happened last week, last month, last year doesn't really matter. It's about what happens on Sunday. And then he would tell us, opponent on Sunday, oh, my God, they're the most explosive offense in the end. Well, how do you know they're explosive, Bill? What are you basing that on? Oh, recent
games?
We're
going to do a 10-minute sermon on Johnny Hecker. Then you've obviously watched Johnny Hecker punt the effing football recently.
Correct. But Mike Vrabel is in the crosshairs, I believe, this week because he might be a little bit ahead of the curve. A little bit of the head of the developmental curve and expectations for his football team, which is a weird turn in the last 2 weeks because it felt like after the Steelers loss, everybody was like, what the hell's going on? All these turnovers, all these penalties. Oh, and speaking of the penalties, they remain a problem. Mike Vrabel was asked about the penalties this week. Stiz. Mike Vrabel was asked about the penalties this week and had some interest. This has been a trend. Some interesting comments about penalties as his team continues to be one of the most penalized teams.
It's not that it's not important. It's important, but it's also, there's something behind it. I'll tell you, every X play run, and we ought to have Taylor track this, every X play run in this league, there's probably a hold. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that they don't call it, that they don't miss. Remember, they don't see or they don't feel like they should call it. That's kind of what happens. So you want to be aggressive, certainly just not reckless.
So, shout out Taylor Kyles, who gets so many nods from Vrabel. I appreciate the fact that he realizes the excellence of some of our guys out there.
Yeah, sometimes I'm not sure what I think of those. Being the ball buster that I am, sometimes when I go over the top praising someone, it's called mocking. But we'll leave that for another day, whether he's praising Taylor Kyles or mocking him a little bit.
He's a good kid.
He is a good kid. I love Taylor. I know Mike Vrabel and who he is and a ball buster and kind of an a-hole and kind
it's
of
both.
A salty
it's admiration.
Biatch.
Andy, it's like when you hit your sweet spot, the same as Vrabel. I think you guys would probably have a good time sucking down Miller Lights. That like the
glad
the,
you said that. I didn't know where that sentence was going.
There's the admiration and a holery. Like when they line up, that's your sweet spot. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So the Patriots this week will play in a game against the Saints. with Adrian Hill as the referee. And you know what the good news is?
What?
He and his crew, I shouldn't blame just him, he and his crew throw 18.4 flags per game, sixth most in the NFL.
Oh my God, almost 19 flags a game?
And the good news is 16 and a half of those are accepted, so you should expect a game where each team has minimum of 8 penalties. And the Patriots, we know, continue to have stupid penalties. And I believe if there's a letdown, we know that what the recipe for the letdown, or maybe the vision, how the letdown will play out. Isn't it safe to say that if there's a letdown against the Saints and you're in a dogfight, or dare I say losing to the Saints, pretty sure it's going to involve turnovers and penalties, right?
Oh, it 100% is. It's going to be Drake May airmailing a ball to Mac Hollins or to Pop Douglas. It's going to be a Ramondre fumble. It's going to be a big pass interference play on like a 50-50 ball from Rattler to Rashid Shaheed. Like, it's going to be one of those things. This needs to be such a disciplined effort by the New England All Whites. I say that, by the way, Andy, because they're wearing the all white uniforms, just like Buffalo did last weekend.
Glad you cleared that up.
They're wearing the all whites on the road for the first time since the Thursday night game against the Buccaneers 8 years ago.
Well, they saw how well the all white uniforms worked for the Bills last week, so they were like, you know what?
Is that a troll move, or is that just because?
My guess is it was probably sort of pre-planned and scheduled. Like, they've had a lot of – they've become – the modernization of the New England Patriots, if you've noticed, has included sort of like colleges, the uniforms. Right, and not just the rivalry this, or it's blue on blue, it's white pants. It feels like there's the throwbacks. Like, it feels like they're not Oregon, obviously, with the level of uniform mixing and matching.
The locker room is also not worth $250 million.
Correct. But that's a modern move by them. That's a modern social media team getting the ear of the head coach, who gets the ear of the equipment guy, and that's cool, and we can sell jerseys. I do kind of like the all-white look.
I think it's super sharp.
I think generally all-white, and we're talking about uniforms. I'm going to keep saying that just so that everybody gets it.
Yeah, in this climate, you may want to say all-white uniform.
Yeah, all-white uniforms are a cool look. We all know, and these even get controversial, the whiteout games that the colleges and the Heat do a whiteout game down there, and that arena looks awesome in Miami. The all-whites, I always think teams look faster and more athletic when they're in all-white, and I have nothing to prove that. I have nothing than observation.
Yeah, no, but a monochromatic uniform does beget a speedier, cleaner look as well.
But even I feel like all white looks faster than all blue, and I have no proof of that.
I much prefer the all white than the color rush. I think this is the Patriots' fourth or fifth different look this year already in six games, and I'm sure everyone, all the uniform tracker Twitter feeds and all the fans at home that have every uniform combo, love being able to change things up for each and every game day as well. And let's hope that they don't change one thing up from last weekend, Andy, which was, save for the Ramondre fumble, ball security. They were great about the ball. Drake was very smart with the ball as well, and they were hawkish on defense. So let's hope they keep that up.
Do you trust the Patriots? Do you trust Mike Vrabel? Do you trust his coaches, his leadership? Do you trust his players to not commit penalties and hold on to the damn football? Because that's what's going to take if they're going to avoid a letdown game, New Orleans Sunday afternoon at 1, because the Saints, I say this, and I stick with it, the Twitch chatters got all pissy with me yesterday, the Saints are not as bad as I expected them to be. The Saints are more competitive than I expected them to be. Spencer Rattler has been a little more competitive than I expect him to be, and if you turn the ball over and you have a bunch of penalties, you'll be in a dumb-ass dogfight instead of proving that you belong in the top 10 in the National Football League. Do you trust Mike Vrabel, Drake May, and the Patriots to get that job done? Also, up next, we need to talk about Bill Belichick, because the story is ongoing. It is, as Adam Jones...
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones said on the Midday Show, in my opinion, the biggest story in all of sports right now. Bill Belichick, UNC, they're in love. They fully support each other, except it looks like they're destined for divorce. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.